Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey, this is Kevin Kelly, and you are listening to the Stardom Cast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stardom Cast. This is a podcast where we talk all things about the fantastic professional wrestling company that is Stardom, and we do it in a positive and what I like to think fun manner. I am your host for this episode. My name is Matt Turner, and folks, I hope you had your coffee. Hope you had your Red Bull. Hope you had your Bang energy drink, your Monster energy drink, your vitamins, your caffeine, your B6s, your B12s, your branched chain amino acids. Folks, what I'm trying to say is I hope you have your energy, because on this episode, we are going high speed. Yes, we are reviewing the greatest high speed run in the history of Stardom, in my opinion, with the greatest high speed wrestler ever in the history of Stardom. In my opinion, Azumi's second high speed championship run that spanned from 2022 until 2023, 458 days. V12 successful title defenses, but we also reviewed the match that she won the championship and the match she lost the championship. So we have 14 phenomenal high speed championship matches to review from the high speed bomb girl herself, the pillar of Queen's Quest, the one and only Azumi. Folks, I'm super excited for this one. I am a huge fan of Azumi. I always have been, but just in the crux of going back and watching these 14 matches and then, you know, doing the homework for this episode. And then in between, just watching her fantastic five-star matches with Utami, with Mina versus Micah. It's like somehow I'm a bigger fan of Azumi than I already was, you know, this past 3 or 4 weeks. So super excited to get into this one. Before we get into this one, folks, I just wanted to say I hope that you're better today than you were yesterday. I hope you're better this week than you were last week. I hope you're better this month than you were last month, because we are all about self-improvement. We're all about helping each other in this crazy, crazy world. And I cannot say thank you enough to all the fantastic folks I talk on a daily basis, whether it's the Instagram, the Twitter, or now on TikTok. Now look out, folks, on the Facebook or wherever. I talk to so many of the fantastic listeners, the friends and family of the Stardom Cast podcast on a daily basis. And we cannot say thank you enough for all of your kind words. As hey, man, we're all in this together. I say at the end of the episode, we're all in this together. We're all on this crazy, crazy, beautiful journey that is life together. So we may as well enjoy it. And I am going to enjoy talking about these fantastic 14 matches from the one and only Azumi. So folks, I guess without any further ado, let's get into it, shall we? So again, this is Azumi's second high-speed championship run. Her first one ended at the hands of Natsupoi in the Budokan Hall back in March of 2021, All-Star Dream Cinderella. Starlight Kid then defeated Natsupoi halfway through the five-star Grand Prix on a special high-speed championship match. And then that we would fast forward to the brutal cold months of the winter of 2022. So we will have our title change match. This match took place Cinderella Journey in Nagoya, February 23rd, 2022, as Azumi takes on her eternal foe, her rival, Starlight Kid, for the high-speed championship. Match starts where Izumi and Starlight Kid, they trade a few quick roll-ups. Starlight Kid escapes an Izumi a sushi attempt, and then the high-speed chases on with just some back-and-forth Lucha-style offense that's being countered back-and-forth by both Starlight Kid and Izumi, as neither champion nor challenger can get the advantage. Izumi lands a few forearms. Starlight Kid fires back with some forearms of herself. Starlight Kid fires off some left and right forearms, very much like the boxing forearms that you'll see time to time, from a lot of the older All Japan wrestlers. The one just drops Izumi, crumbles her, considering the fact that Izumi is a very underrated striker. I remember watching this for the first time and thought that Izumi would have the better of the forearm exchange, but Starlight Kid in this exchange that really brings the fire, dropping the high-speed bomb girl. Izumi is able to come back with a dropkick and the Alita arm drag into the armbar. Now, folks, Izumi does the Alita arm drag quite a bit. And what the Alita arm drag is, you've seen Izumi do it 1,000 times, but just I was fortunate enough to train a little bit in Lucha Libre. So they call this the Alita arm drag. So what it is, it's when Izumi comes up the middle of the ropes and then twists her body like 180 degrees. And then the way down, she's able to hook the arm drag, sweep her entire body through, and then locks in the arm drag. So Izumi, you've seen her do it 1,000 times. She does it 1,000 times. Not really, but you know what I mean. About 1,000 times in this run. So when I say the Alita arm drag, that's basically what it is. So she's able to transition the arm drag into the arm bar. Izumi then goes to the second rope, but then Starlight Kid drop kicks her off the top rope, sending Izumi crashing to the apron and to the floor. Starlight Kid, Izumi winds up getting the advantage onto Izumi as they're brawling up on, or they're running, not brawling, they're exchanging high-speed style offense up the rampway. Izumi gets the better of Starlight Kid when Izumi hits a punt kick onto Starlight Kid while they're on the floor. Starlight Kid escapes a suplex on the floor, hits an arm drag, and a picture-perfect Acai moonsault does the champion. Back in the ring they go as Starlight Kid hits the cross-legged fisherman suplex for a two count. Starlight Kid then tries for a top rope moonsault, but Izumi cuts her off and hits the Tree of Woe double stomp that sends Starlight Kid to the floor. Izumi then hits the corner-to-corner plancha suicida dive onto Starlight Kid to the while Starlight Kid is on the floor. That's just a beautiful move, how Izumi's able to run from corner to corner, jump up, balance herself on the ropes, and hits a perfect plancha suicida. Just so flawlessly done by the young 20-year-old. Izumi then follows up, spiking the champion with the second rope hurricanrana. And again, folks, what this is her opponent's trying to get back into the ring, and they go in between the second and third ropes, like you've seen wrestlers do all the time, to get back in the ring. But Izumi is laying in there waiting, and while she's in the ring, she jumps up, hits a hurricanrana while her opponent is sandwiched in between the second and third rope, and spikes her opponent right on her head. It's just absolutely beautiful and violent from one Izumi. Izumi then crushes Starlight Kid with a top rope double stomp for two count. And then she hits the La Mystica, which is the tilt-a-whirl armbar takedown that she sets up to try to get the numero uno in. So she hits the La Mystica. She tries for the numero uno. However, Starlight Kid is able to shift her weight on Izumi and able to get a two count. Izumi then fires back, kicks away at Starlight Kid's arm, keeping the focus on the champion's arm to build back up to either the Fujiwara armbar or the double armbar known as the numero uno. And then we do see from there that Izumi goes to the top rope. Izumi goes for a top rope double stomp to Starlight Kid's arm, but misses. Izumi then tries again, but then Starlight Kid is able to counter with a top rope arm drag. Starlight Kid starts opening up kicks onto Izumi. Izumi catches a kick and hits the C4 bomb, which is basically her cross-legged German suplex. She follows up the C4 bomb suplex with a big head kick. And then she goes for a suplex, but Starlight Kid is able to counter the suplex with a big DDT. Izumi and Starlight Kid then trade inside cradle rolls back and forth for 2.9s several times. This poor referee, I hope he got a bonus. Starlight Kid counters the Izumi Sushi pin attempt for a two count. Starlight Kid then hits the Golden Gate swing neck breaker and then follows up with the 180-degree splash from the top rope that scores her a two count. Starlight Kid tries to put her eternal foe away with a Black Tiger Piledriver, but Izumi is able to roll through the Piledriver attempt and roll up Starlight Kid for a two count. Starlight Kid goes back to the Black Tiger Piledriver, stays with it, and actually is able to nail it onto Izumi, but only scores a two count. Starlight Kid goes for a shotgun double knees to Izumi's back, but Izumi is able to roll up Starlight Kid, able to counter that running shotgun knees. He's able to roll up Starlight Kid with the Izumi Sushi for a two count. Starlight Kid is able to come back and hits the shotgun knees, and then she sets Izumi up to the top rope for the Eternal Foe, the Spanish Fly, off the top rope. On the way down, Izumi is able to maintain wrist control. She does take the bump, however, Izumi keeps the arm of Starlight Kid on the way down and beautifully locks in the Fujiwara armbar, that same arm that she's been working on for the majority of the match. Really great counter there from Izumi. Starlight Kid is able to get the advantage back with some strikes. She tries for a tiger suplex, but Izumi is able to escape the tiger suplex and then locks in, and then it trips Izumi up with the double Izumi Sushi for a two count. Izumi goes back to Starlight Kid's arm, locking in, tries to go back to her arm, but Starlight Kid is able to escape. When Starlight Kid escapes, Izumi is able to head kick Starlight Kid with a huge buzzsaw kick, absolutely crushing the champion in Starlight Kid. Izumi then follows up with a Canadian Destroyer that scores her a two count. Starlight Kid tries to cradle Izumi, but Izumi is able to counter the cradle and is able to get wrist control and roll Starlight Kid right in the middle of the ring, finally locking in the numero uno armbar. Starlight Kid does not have anywhere to go, so at the 17 minute and 3 second mark, Starlight Kid taps out, and we see a new champion in one Izumi. Folks, I have this at 4 3/4 stars. Not only is this a fantastic way to start this reign, but in my opinion, this is the greatest high-speed championship match that these eyes have ever seen. So a really excellent way to start this match. This is a match that got lauded by a lot of big-time people in pro wrestling. Dave Meltzer, I believe he had the same star rating as I did, I think like 4 3/4 stars. Will Ospreay said that was one of the best matches he's seen in a long, long time. So when you have Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, the most famous writer, a journalist in wrestling history, and Will Ospreay, who I think a lot of people have pegged as the best wrestler in the world, you know, if you like that style, but Will, you know, if anybody's going to know that speedy, you know, junior style, it's going to be Will Ospreay. And those are two very, very prominent people in pro wrestling that absolutely love this match. An excellent way to start off this high speed run. We start off the V1, and I tell you what, Izumi gets thrown right in the fire here. About a month later, we go to March 27th, 2022, Stardom World Climax Night 2, the top, as Izumi will have not one but two opponents, two former champions, and Kagama and Natsupoi, three-way dance. Also Natsupoi, also known as Bipoi. Had to get that in there. The challengers try to double-team Izumi, but Izumi's able to break free. We get a triple headlock locked in between the champion and the two challengers. Izumi trips Kagama. Natsupoi tries to tries the double knees onto both Izumi and Kagama, but they get out of the way. All three trade arm drags back and forth. Kagama does the Kuma pose on Depoy and Izumi while she has them locked in the camel clutch. Izumi's able to hit a drop kick to both Natsupoi and Kagama. We get some Irish whip reversals between the three. Again, this is another match I hope the referee got a bonus for. Eventually, though, Natsupoi vaults off Izumi's back and hits Kagama with the drop kick as eventually the action spills to the floor between the three. As Kagama hits a dive to the floor, back inside, Kagama misses a missile dropkick to Izumi. Kagama is able to go back to the top rope again. However, Izumi slams her off the top rope to the apron, and then she hits a double stomp onto both Kagama and Natsupoi. That was a really cool spot, how she kind of just stacked up both Kagama and Natsupoi for the double stomp. Izumi fights them both off, and then she winds up stacking both of them on the top rope with a Tree of Woe double stomp onto both as well. So Izumi, no shortage here, folks, of the double stomps. That was a really cool spot. And then Izumi follows up with a top rope double stomp onto Kagama for a two count. Izumi uses the Halita arm drag, there it is, folks, to place Natsupoi into the armbar. Natsupoi desperately gets to the ropes. Natsupoi fires back with a super kick to both Izumi and Kagama. Kagama hits a DDT onto Natsupoi. Izumi cradles both Kagama and Natsupoi for a two count. Kagama reverses and cradles both Izumi and Natsupoi for a two count. Really good double stack from the high-speed genius in Kagama there. And a really great job on the referee, really holding that 2.9 count where a lot of people in the audience bid on. And that's the genius of some of these high-speed matches. Azumi locks the bear in the numero uno. Natsupoi desperately breaks up the submission attempt and then lands and then leads to more three-way pin attempts back and forth. Natsupoi is able to roll Azumi up with the fairy magic for two. However, Azumi follows up the fairy magic with the double Azumi sushi pinfall on Natsupoi for the three count. This one got done 8 minutes and 10 seconds. A great match. Really great way to start off this high-speed run from Azumi. 3 3/4 stars. I just wish it had just a little bit more time, but they did a lot in 8 minutes. You have three fantastic wrestlers in there, and you're giving them a little less than 9 minutes. If this one would have been maybe 9.5, 10 minutes, probably would have broke that 4 4.25 star for me. But then again, maybe that's all they needed was 8 minutes to tell their story. Who am I going to tell Natsupoi, Koguma, and Azumi how to wrestle their matches? Because they're far more talented than I ever wished to be. Great match. Really great way to start off the show. And those two World Climax shows, go back and take a look at those cards. Whew. Back-to-back nights. And you get, you know, in a 24-hour period, you get those two cards. Unbelievable. We still are spoiled as Cyberman fans, but 2022, holy jeez. We had some really, really good stuff. We fast forward to a month later, the Cinderella Finals. Azumi will be taking on an outsider, someone who does not wrestle full-time for Stardom, in one Mei Suruga. Mei Suruga won the Battle Royal on World Climax Night 1, and then she challenges Azumi for the High Speed Championship. We get some super fast chain wrestling to start. A few quick near falls are traded back and forth. Azumi works over Mei's arm. Azumi then tries for a head kick, but Mei dodges the head kick into an arm drag. And then the arm drag, she is able to roll that in into a pin attempt for a two count. Mei and Azumi have some fun with the referee as they basically just go back and forth using the referee as a shield here, which I thought was nice, a little comical spot. They didn't overdo it, but they did it enough to do something different on this show. Mei tricking Azumi into hitting a high kick, and then she's able to transition that into a crossbody for a two count. Mei then trips Azumi into the ropes, landing Azumi onto the apron. Mei hits a slingshot double stomp onto Azumi while she's on the apron. So Azumi gets tripped up. She takes the bump on the apron. Mei is inside the ring. She slingshots from the outside into the apron and squishes the high-speed champion on the apron. Really cool spot. The action spills to the floor, because why not? They're already there. Azumi tries to whip Mei Suruga into the post, but Mei Suruga vaults off the post and then comes back and hits Azumi with a high crossbody. That's a beautiful, beautiful spot and just so flawlessly done, as not only does Mei escape danger by eating the post, but she's able to do damage onto the champion. Really, really cool spot. Azumi is able to run off. This is a really cool spot for Azumi to come back. She's able to run off the apron, almost like sliding off the apron, and hits a Hurricane Rana onto Mei, crashing the challenger to the floor. Azumi hits the crazy corner-to-corner suicide plancha to the floor. Back in the ring, this match finally goes, but I was loving what they were doing on the outside. Azumi crushes Mei with a double stomp for a two count. Azumi goes, she transitions the La Mystica into the Fujiwara armbar. Mei is able to get to the ropes, however. Azumi pulls her off, she tries for another armbar. When she does, Mei rolls up and stacks Azumi for 2.9. Very, very cool spot there. Mei Suruga locks on an armbar of her own and then transitions the armbar into the Bryan Danielson cattle mutilation. Azumi gets to the ropes. Mei hits a running double stomp off the second rope for a two count. Mei locks Azumi into the double armbar, giving the champion a taste of her own medicine here. Azumi escapes, and as she's able to kick Mei right in the head, she tries for the numero uno, I should have that down by pat. I wrote it 1,000 times here. Azumi tries for the numero uno armbar, but Azumi and Mei wind up trading several near roll-ups for several 2.9 counts. Again, referee heavy blown up here. Mei escapes the Azumi sushi and stacks Azumi sushi, and then is able to stack Azumi for a 2.99. Really great near fall there. These falls are so close. Mei gets so close with each and every one of these flash pins on Azumi, and for her to counter the bread and butter, you know, Azumi's go-to flash pin, the Azumi sushi, and stack her and get that 2.9, just brilliant. Azumi uses a lucha trip to take Mei down back again, and then And then she goes, tries once again to go to the armbar. Mei is able to get out. Mei counters once again the Izumi Sushi, but then Izumi is able to counter the counter to the Izumi Sushi. Izumi reverses into the double Izumi Sushi for the three count. This was fantastic. I had to pause this match. I've seen this match two or three times prior to me going back and doing this review, but I had to pause the feed on this two or three times just because I couldn't understand my writing because I was writing so fast because the action is so hard to keep up with. And some of these matches, folks, I try the best I can to do them justice with all the high-speed action and whatnot. So there's a couple of times where I had to pause the feed and pause the video on Starterwell because my hand just kept cramping up because I couldn't keep up fast enough with what was going on in the ring. It was just some absolutely fantastic action between both Mei and Izumi. Really, really good stuff. This one got over with in 13 minutes and 6 seconds. I had this at 4.5 stars. We go to the V3, which is a singles match versus Koguma. This takes place on Golden Fight Week, night number 6 in Nagoya. Koguma, at this point, is one half of the Goddess of Stardom Tag Champs with Hazuki. Hazuki, another former high-speed champion. And then Hazuki's high-speed championship run is a run I did about a year or so ago. So if you're new to the Patreon, hello and welcome, and go back and check out the Hazuki high-speed championship run because that is in the vault and you do have access to it, folks. We get the code of honor to start with a handshake, so that was nice, the two baby faces. Koguma tries the Kuma dance, but Izumi has none of it. Izumi follows up Koguma to the floor, and they trade suplexes on the floor back and forth. They try to suplex each other, but they keep being blocked back and forth, so nobody takes the bump just yet. Back in the ring, we get some high-speed evasions from both champion and challenger. Koguma hits Izumi with a low dropkick and locks Izumi in the camel clutch. Koguma tries to work over Izumi's back, but Izumi uses a knuckle lock to gain wrist control. She then kicks away at Koguma's arm and locks in the Fujiwara armbar. As we can see, Izumi's strategy here is to take out the arm of Koguma to lock her in, eventually the numero uno, because that's how she wins a good majority of her matches, or it leads into the getting the arm advantage for the numero uno. So Izumi, very wise behind her year, folks. Very, very wise. I mean, she is 21 years old, but a 13-year veteran. Something like that. Just crazy. Izumi locks Koguma in the Fujiwara armbar. Koguma is able to trip Izumi and hits a double stomp to Izumi's back. Izumi sends Koguma over the top ropes to the apron and sweeps out Koguma's leg. Izumi goes coast to coast with a drop kick while Izumi's on the inside of the ring and Koguma's half outside, half inside. That was a really, really cool spot. I think she only did it just in this one match. I'd love to see Izumi doing the Van Terminator there, going coast to coast, because we all know she's damn good at it. After she gets hit with that dropkick, Koguma crashes to the floor. Izumi tries the corner-to-corner dive that we love so much, the corner-to-corner suicide plancha. However, Koguma cuts Izumi off. She hits a stun gun, sending Izumi crashing to the floor. Koguma is able to follow up, hitting a top rope dive onto the floor, onto the champion. Back in the ring, Koguma hits a huge stalling German suplex for a two count. Koguma goes to the top rope for the top rope superfly Jimmy Snuka style splash, but misses, allowing Izumi to get the arm control, wrist control, and locking back in the Fujiwara armbar. Izumi follows up with a top rope double stomp for a two count, and then she hits another double stomp, but this time to Koguma's arm. I thought that was great. Genius. You know, she goes for the traditional double stomp, realizes that's not enough, but also realizes she has her opponent down. Let me go back to that arm and do that move that I love to do, but this time to the opponent's arm. I thought it was just absolutely genius. Izumi hits the La Mystica and then floats into the arm bar. However, Koguma is able to stack Izumi up while she's in the armbar for a two count. Izumi and Koguma trade several near roll-ups for a two count. Koguma hits another German suplex but can't follow up due to the earlier damage that Izumi has done to her arm. Genius psychology here, folks. Simple, simple storytelling that everybody can follow from the two fantastic high-speed, not just high-speed wrestlers, two fantastic wrestlers. Izumi counters a roll-up attempt with the Izumi Sushi for a two-count. Koguma counters the La Mystica with a Kuma roll for 2.9. Izumi is able to maintain wrist control when she kicks out of the Kuma roll And then she transitions into the numero uno to get Kagama to tap out at 11 minutes, 35 seconds. This was a solid 4 stars. And I remember when I first watched this match, I remember I really enjoyed it. When I went back and did these notes, I enjoyed it just a little bit more. Fantastic match between two, again, not just fantastic high-speed wrestlers, two great high-speed wrestlers that told a really fantastic yet simple story, mixing in the high-speed style action. Really great match. If you haven't seen that in a while, if you haven't seen it at all, go back and watch it, folks. You know, it's only going to take up 12, 13 minutes of your time. We move on to the V4 Flashing Champions 2022. This match takes place May 28th, year 2022, as she will take on the Spider herself, Donna Del Mundo's Tekla. Tekla has a counter for everything that Izumi tries to do early on. It seems like Tekla was really watching her Izumi tapes. Tekla locks Izumi in a hanging figure four choke early on in the match. Izumi is able to trip Tekla up and hits a low drop kick. Izumi puts Tekla's arm, punts Tekla's arm, and then hits a double stomp to Tekla's arm. And then Izumi quickly, sensing that she can might be able to have this match done early, tries for the Lamistica. But Tekla cuts her off with some kicks and starts kicking away at Izumi's legs. Makes sense. Take away, you know, the speed of Izumi. So psychology again here is Izumi's in trouble early on. Tekla is able to counter everything she's doing. Izumi has that one opening punk kick to Tekla's arm. Is able to then take her down, the double stomp to Tekla's arm. And then she tries to go for the Lamistica to either float into the Fujiwara armbar or the numero uno. At that point, Tekla's able to counter that by start kicking away at the champ's legs. Again, simple strategy and something that we really haven't seen in this championship run at all. You know, they started out with something a little bit different. Tekla follows up with a huge running boot for a two count, and then she starts to, she stays with her offense, really, especially on the kick, kicking away at Izumi's leg, kicking away at Izumi's head, and then booting Izumi's, hitting a huge running boot to Izumi's head. Izumi's able to counter the O'Connor roll by pushing Tekla off and getting the challenger into an armbar. That was really cool. So Tekla tries to roll Izumi up after all these strikes. You know, makes sense. Hey, I got my opponent's equilibrium off a little bit. Let me see if I can get a flash roll up, because that's what the high speed division is known for a three count. But however, Izumi's able to push Tekla off and then maintains control of the arm and locking in a Jujigatami armbar onto Tekla. Izumi then tries to follow up that with the C4 bomb. However, Tekla escapes, hits a big spear. Tekla goes for another head kick, but Izumi counters the head kick into the C4 bomb, going back to the move she tried to go earlier. Great psychology. You take it away from the fans, and then you give it right back to them. Great stuff there. Tekla then stops Izumi's momentum with a Quesadora Bulldog, basically the prong bulldog, and then she tries to roll up Izumi, but then Izumi is able to roll through Tekla's attempt to roll her up and do several double stomps onto Tekla's chest. Izumi then tries for the top rope double stomp, but Tekla moves and then hits a chop block to Izumi's knee. Tekla sets up for the Del Mundo death drop DDT, which is the double underhook DDT. Izumi is able to escape that with the Izumi sushi for a two count. Izumi then rolls through a clothesline attempt into the numero uno tap out. Into the numero uno, which leads Tekla to tap out 7 minutes, 21 seconds. I had this at 3 3/4 stars. I believe I'm pretty sure this was the match that Tekla blew her shoulder out and then had her miss the 5-star tournament in 2022. I thought these two might have been giving a little bit more time, which is 7 minutes. Maybe Tekla was supposed to get out of the Izumi sushi and supposed to continue. I'm not exactly sure, but if you go back and watch it, Izumi wrenches in on this numero uno, and it did look like Tekla was trying to get out. And again, maybe that was the call for the match, is they were going to milk that a little bit more. And I think Izumi went left and Tekla went right, and that's never too good, folks. And then you had the rip or the tear, whatever it was, for the shoulder. I would love to see these two run it back, and they did a good job after the match with Tekla holding her arm, basically telling Izumi, it's not over, it's not over. So I think a lot of us thought we were going to get a rematch here, but I think it just didn't pan out with Tekla's injury. And then eventually, by the time Tekla came back, there was other plans for both wrestlers. really good match. I really enjoyed how Azumi, she is able to counter these clotheslines, but like she gets the wrist control for the clothesline, and then she's able to kind of just duck under and sweep the opponent's leg out. And then when she does, she's just on top with the armbar and then transitions into the numero uno. Very catch wrestling style takedown from one Azumi that we do see her use a decent amount in this run. Again, excellent match. 3 3/4 stars, 7 minutes, 21 seconds. We go on to the most overachieved match in this run, because this is a match, again, I know when I start watching these pay-per-views, or you know, when we preview them on the weekly show, you know you're going to get good matches. And then you have an idea where you're on the, you know, Stardom scale rating that I'm going to put it, or where Rob might put it. So, but then you have matches that just, they hit. Some matches, not often. Some matches are kind of like a little below. And then you have some matches like, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't think that was going to be that good. This is one of my favorite matches of this run. We go to Midsummer's King of Summer Midfest, July 9th, 2022, the V5, as Azumi takes on Momo Kogo. Momo Kogo quickly becoming like a huge fan favorite here, especially over here in the States. She had that match, I believe it was with Willow Nightingale over, in Los Angeles, and then she was in that four-way. Which is El Shah, Julia, and Deanna Purrazzo. Momo Kogo is just hugely over here in the States. Considering that she's somebody that's kind of like, you know, lower mid-card, for lack of a better term, just goes to show three things. Number one, how low the starting roster is. Two, how great Momo Kogo is. And three, how Momo Kogo is really able to connect with the U.S. audience. And I think that would be something that we see New Japan do it a lot, where their wrestlers will wrestle a year, year and a half, and then they'll send them on excursion. We saw it happen with Jay White coming out of the New Japan dojo. Did a year and change. You know, he's working like as an underneath babyface. Then we saw him go to Ring of Honor, PWG, and then they brought him back with the whole Switchblade character. And gotta say, the last 3 or 4 years, he's been doing pretty damn good for himself. So I would like to see maybe starting to do some of that. Maybe send a Momo Kogo, Saida, Hana, Hina, Rina, you know, give or take, send them, you know, to the States, send them over to England, send them over to Mexico just for maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 weeks, and then bring them back, because it would give them more experience and longer matches elsewhere, more main event matches maybe elsewhere. And then it would give the rest of the world a chance to see, you know, Stardom. You know, especially somebody on that level, I think it'd be win-win for everybody. So, again, we'll see. You know, we shall see if they do the New Japan route, but I think Momo Kogo would be somebody that would get over like crazy everywhere. So, match starts. We get some flawless high-speed action to start from both Azumi and Momo Kogo, missing double stomps. Momo hits an arm drag, and then Azumi quickly fires off with a dropkick. Azumi starts her arm work by punting away at Momo's arm. Momo then fights back with some forearms, but Azumi stops her with a big kick. Momo then uses a satellite head scissors, sending Azumi to the floor. Momo then uses the apron as a vault to hit Azumi with a 619. Momo then follows up with a huge dive to the floor, as you see Momo Kogo really pulling it on early here. Back in the ring, Momo Kogo hits a flawless springboard dropkick for a two count. We get a forearm trade-off between both champion and challenger. Azumi sends Momo to the apron and hits a hurricanrana, and then Momo dodges, or Azumi goes for a double stomp. Momo desperately dodges the double stomp, hits a big super kick. Momo attempts the 619 satellite DDT. However, Azumi is able to escape and uses a roll-up for a two count. Momo and Azumi then trade some near falls back and forth until Azumi just crushes Momo Kogo with the head kick. So they're going back and forth with these flash falls, which is kind of a staple, not only just in the Azumi high-speed championship matches, but a lot of higher-tier high-speed championship matches. And then Azumi's just like, you know, I had enough of this, and then just stops and just floors Momo with a head kick. Brilliant. Momo gets crushed from the top rope when Azumi finally hits the double stomp, scoring the champion a two count. Momo almost steals one at this point, as then Azumi tries to pick up Momo Kogo, but Momo just comes up and gets an inside cradle out of nowhere for 2.9. I was like, wow, they almost stole it with that one. Momo finally hits the satellite 619 DDT and then the Nectar Peach Suplex for a 2.9 count. Azumi really giving Momo a lot in this match. Azumi comes back with a punt kick to Momo Kogo's arm, and then she goes for the La Mystica, but Momo shakes off the La Mystica, hits a scooper kick, and then a schoolboy code red. I forget what she calls that. folks. If you know what it is, it's basically when she jumps over her opponent like the schoolboy, but then snaps her like for the code red. I know she's got a cool name with it, like maybe it's the peach snap. I don't know. But regardless, she hits that combination for a two count. Zumi then counters a Lamaistra cradle attempt with a Izumi sushi, but then Momo stops the Izumi sushi halfway through and stacks Izumi up for a 2.9 count. Momo then tries again for the Lamaistra, but Izumi is able to get arm control and then is able to lock Momo Kogo into the numero uno right in the middle of the ring. They do a great job working it once Izumi gets full wrist control and is able to get what we call cutting bone number one into Izumi's arm, is able to pop the shoulder. That leads to the tap out. 10 minutes, 39 seconds, 4.25 stars. Folks, again, this is a match you haven't seen in a while. I haven't seen it all. Go or you haven't seen it at all. Go back and watch it because this was great. And again, I remember watching this live, when it happened. And I was like, wow, I knew it was going to be good. I didn't think it was going to be that good. And then I went back and watched it like a week later. And then I watched it again, just a few days ago before recording this. And I just remember absolutely loving this match. And Momo Kogo is somebody that they want to tap on for the high speed division for like a V4, V5 run. I am all for it. It looks like they're going the route, as I'm recording this, the end of September. It looks like they're going the route with Mae Sierra having a little decent of a run here. I would love to see Mae Sierra versus Momo Kogo high speed championship match. Maybe even flip the title over to Momo Kogo. I think that would do wonders for her career and basically kind of shake things up a little bit, kind of in the mid card. But Momo Kogo was just fantastic. So at the end of this match, I thought this was absolutely hilarious, and I forgot this happened. At the end of this match, Izumi's exhausted because this is a blistering 10-minute pace, and the match was like 70% Momo Kogo. So she's exhausted. She's trying to catch her wind. She was able to dodge all these near cradles for like 2.9. Gets wrist control. Finally works Momo Kogo into the numero uno. Gets the tap. So she's laying there looking like trying to catch her wind. And here comes Oedotai's Rina. Comes off, hits the double rope, diving knee bomb, and then challenges Izumi for the high speed championship, which we then get in the 24th, later on that month, the 24th of July, Midsummer Champions in Nagoya, the V6, as Izumi takes on Rina. Rina slows down Izumi by pulling her hair, oh, that dastardly member of a Oedotai, and dropping the champ with a huge Yakuza kick. Rina then counters Izumi's arm drags with an arm bar. Rina then hits another running boot that sends Izumi to the floor. Looks like, Rina really has the champ's number here early on. Rina follows her out and hits slams her onto the floor. Izumi then is able to come back and then counters by using the apron as her own sliding board and hitting a Hurricane Rana off the apron onto Rina, who's on the floor. Rina then dodges a top rope double stomp and is able to roll up Izumi for a two count. Rina then hits Izumi with a chair and then a double stomp for the two count. Again, the chair, Oedotai interfered, Oedotai distracted the ref. So I have no complaints about cheating as long as it's not done in front of the ref. Plus, Oedotai's got Oedotai. Rina tries for the diving knee bomb but misses. Rina is able to come back and hit a reverse suplex for a two count. And then she follows up by trying to put Izumi away and with the Pink Devil, which is basically her version of the Gory Bomb. However, Izumi is able to slip out of the Pink Devil and hits Rina with a drop kick. Izumi then crumbles Rina with a head kick. She goes back to the top rope, setting up for, I'm assuming, the double stomp, but Rina cuts her off. They trade strikes on the top back and forth. Izumi wins the strike battle. Izumi tries for the Tree of Woe double stomp, but Rina is able to basically use her core strength and is able to sit up, lock Izumi in a front headlock, and then Rina suplexes Izumi off the top rope. Rina goes up to the top rope, I'm assuming going for the double knee bomb, but Izumi is able to come back with the top rope arm drag. The two of them trade near falls for several two counts. We get the Izumi sushi for a two count. Rina escapes the Lamistica and locks Izumi in to the Hydrangea, which is the move that was taught to her by the late, great, one and only, the winner of the 2019 five-star Grand Prix tournament, one Hana Kimura. So really cool spot where you see Izumi going for the Lamistica, and then Rina is able to kind of escape, shake it off, and then locking in the Hydrangea. Really genius spot here. Izumi is, and then from the Hydrangea, Rina goes for the Pink Devil. However, Izumi is able to escape the Pink Devil for the second time and is able to lock in a rolling cradle for a three count, 8 minutes and 4 seconds. I thought this was pretty good. I thought there was some of their timing was off a little bit in the middle of the match. I thought the match could have been longer. This is kind of the only match that Izumi really wins, but kind of like that back cradle in this one. So it was like the finish kind of came out of nowhere. 3.5 stars, nothing wrong with it by any means, but I thought that this one, especially for how well Rena's doing now, I'd love to see Rena and Izumi run. You know, it's not going to be a high-speed championship match. I think Izumi's kind of maybe past that at this point. But I'd love to see them, you know, just put them in, like, you know, just a match with KBS Hall, Corkin Hall, whatever, give them maybe about 9 or 10 minutes, you know, with Izumi constantly improving. I mean, as great as she was here in this review that we're doing, she's even better now a year later. And Rena, who I believe was like 15, 16 going into this match, now 16, 17, and it is... She was good here, but she's light years better now. I'd love to see them, two of them, run this back with like 10 minutes to go. I'm just, you know, it doesn't have to be anything high speed either, but this is really, really good. Obviously, Rena, she's another one that can win the high speed championship. She's the current future Stardom champion. She's another one very much like her older sister, Hana, can kind of run the table of whatever belt she wants in the next 5 or 6 years here in Stardom. Really, really good stuff.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
We go on to, we're at this point, folks, we are dab slap in the middle of the fantastic 5-star Grand Prix from the year 2022. We have a 5-star special in Takadanababa. I think I got that one. Takadanababa. Look at that. I think I might have pronounced that better than Mayu, but not as good as one Rob Goodwin. As we have another 3-way dance, folks, Stardom loves their 3-way dances. As Izumi on September 24th, 2022, has the V7 against two former champions of this championship, one Hazuki, who at the time had the record of the V7, and Fukin Death, who may or may not have had the championship as Kaori Yonayama, allegedly. So this was it's interesting in a lot of different ways, because you have, you know, three high speed champions in this one. You have Hazuki, used to be part of a Wedo Tai, Fukin Death, part of a Wedo Tai now. So you kind of wonder what alliance we would have had. Izumi and Hazuki, they basically have a flawless exchange while Fukin Death is in the corner, fake smoking. Referee throws away Death's cigarette. Death hits a double dropkick senton combination to both Izumi and Hazuki. Fukin Death then tries for the brain buster onto Izumi and Hazuki. That never works out well, folks. You've seen these Fukin Death matches. She just yells, brain buster Death. And I think she's only hit it once out of like 50 times. Not a good average, and it's not going to work on two opponents here. Hazuki hits a double boot scrape to both Fukin Death and Izumi. Hazuki then follows up with a double senton onto both opponents for a two count. Izumi uses a knuckle lock head scissor combination that leads to a drop kick for her and the first advantage of the match. Match spills out to the floor. Hazuki is able to hit a suicide dive, and then back in the ring, Hazuki hits a code breaker onto Izumi for a two count. Hazuki locks in a crossface onto Izumi. Hazuki hits a second rope drop kick and two stiff pump kicks to Fukin Death for a two count. Death is able to come back with a spin kick and code red to Hazuki for a two count. Izumi hits the La Mystica into the Fujiwara armbar onto Hazuki here. All three trade near falls back and forth, because folks, again, if it's a high speed championship match in a three way, you have to have several three way near falls, and they're done so flawlessly. Like the timing, the execution. They're not tangled up in the ropes. I'd be in the third row with some of these things, because it's just the timing and the ring positioning is just flawless. Hazuki hits a stiff pump kick to everyone. By everyone, I mean Izumi and Fukin Death. She doesn't do it to the referee. Not that I know of. Form exchange between Hazuki and Izumi. More near fall attempts with Izumi versus Hazuki. Hazuki hits a big springboard dropkick to Fukin Death. Izumi quickly locks in the Izumi Sushi to Hazuki for a two count. That's a really cool spot. So Hazuki's on the advantage in this match. She hits the springboard dropkick onto Fukin Death, basically taking her out. But when she comes up from the bump, Izumi grabs Hazuki's arm. Say that 5 times fast. Izumi grabs Hazuki's arm and then almost steals it with the Izumi Sushi. I thought that was really, really cool. Izumi then goes for the La Mystica onto Hazuki. Hazuki's able to shake off the La Mystica and rolls Izumi up with a Hazuki strap for a two count. We get an assisted double stomp from Izumi to Fukin Death for a two count. Fukin Death tries for the Okana roll onto Izumi, but Izumi reverses the Okana roll into the double Izumi Sushi, getting the victory over the legend that may or may not be Kori Yonyama, also known as Fukin Death, at 7 minutes 41 seconds. This was great nonstop action. I had this at 4 stars. I remember when I only watched this match once before I went back and reviewed it. And I remember I thought like that stuff in there was just like sprinkled in for comedy and got like one or two things in there. But it was basically a glorified singles match between Izumi and Hazuki, with just Death taking the finish to keep Hazuki strong. Because at this point, if you remember the 5 star, Hazuki was at the top of the blue block and looked like she was going to go on to the finals. So I understood Death's role, you know, going into it. But when I went back and watched this about a week or so ago, I was like, I remember being a good, but I remember being this good. Obviously, Hazuki and Izumi are flawless. They put Fukin Death's stuff in there, her comedy stuff, her roll-up stuff, perfectly where it all matches. And then eventually, you know, she takes the fall here. So this was another really, really good one. And again, a Hazuki versus Izumi singles match is something I would love to see somewhere down the line. We thought we were going to get like kind of like a, not a full out style match, but like it was built up as for this past Cinderella tournament. Excuse me, I'm losing my train of thought. The Cinderella tournament, they wrestled each other in the first round. I know it was one of the matches that everybody was looking forward to, but I think it ended like 4 minutes with Izumi hitting the La Mystica off the apron and the two of them hit the mat at the same time. You know, it's one thing, it's like, if Izumi hits first or if Hazuki hits first, the referee's like, I don't have instant replay. I can just say it's a double elimination because that's what's booked as, you know, hey, that's what's booked. That's the final. But they hit that thing. I mean, I went back and watched it like 3 or 4 times. And they hit it at the same exact time. You know, for Izumi to come down with that speed and Hazuki to take that bump to the outside, just two geniuses and two masters of the craft of pro wrestling. Just two of my favorite wrestlers in wrestling right now. Not just in Stardom, but all of wrestling is Hazuki and Izumi. Really, really good stuff. So we move on, folks, to the V8 Stardom Gold Rush as we see Izumi taking on another outsider in one, Momoko Hanazono. Izumi, quick inside cradle for a two count right off the bell. She goes for the handshake. And Izumi, a little heel tactic here, inside cradle for a two count. We get a few leg sweep attempts from back and forth. So we get a forearm trade-off between the champion and challenger. Misdirection rope running from Momoko Hanazono that throws Izumi off her game plan. Hanazono hits a low dropkick and then gets her little bubble gun and then starts putting bubbles into Izumi's eye in front of the referee. Maybe call for the DQ, maybe don't. I'm just kidding. Izumi eventually turns the bubble gun against her and the referee says, that's enough. Get back to wrestling. The name on the marquee says wrestling. Momoko uses the ref for an assisted dropkick to get Izumi down. The challenger then goes for a low dropkick, but misses. And when she does, it basically sends Momoko herself to the floor. She basically almost like, you know, shit cans herself to the floor. You know, pardon my language, but hey, that's what it's called. Izumi attempts a suplex on the floor, but Momoko stops her and then quickly comes back. The two of them brawl back and forth. And then Izumi goes for that trademark sliding off the apron, Hurricane Rana, onto Momoko Hanazono. Izumi gets her flowers from the crowd. Izumi throws the challenger back in the ring and then squishes her off the top rope when she squishes Momoko Hanazono. When Izumi comes off the top rope with that beautiful and violent double stomp for a two count. Momoko uses an eye poke. A little cheating there from the outsider. Uses an eye poke to set up a big right hand that slows the champion down. Folks, eye poke, illegal. punch in the face, illegal. I know Roddy Piper used it, but Roddy Piper's the exception to every rule because Roddy Piper's the best. But come on now. It's a high-speed championship match. What are you doing, Momoko? Hanazono then hits a high-cross body, but then Izumi is able to float over from the high-cross body into an armbar. Hanazono gets the ropes that breaks up the submission. Hanazono then is able, or Izumi goes off to the top rope. However, Hanazono stops Izumi and hits a body slam, sending Izumi crashing from the top rope to the canvas. Momoko then follows up with a drop kick for a two count. Izumi is able to come back and fire off a head kick and then the C4 bomb. Izumi then tries for the La Mystica, but Hanazono dodges and is able to hit a beautiful German suplex for a two count. Izumi and Momoko Hanazono exchange quick roll-ups back and forth for several two counts, and then Izumi sweeps Momoko Hanazono for the Izumi Sushi for a two count. Hanazono tries for a cross-arm roll-up onto Izumi. However, Izumi is able to counter that roll-up attempt into the double Izumi Sushi for the three count at 8 minutes and 4 seconds. Another solid outing at 3 3/4 stars. We go on to the final show of the year, one of the biggest shows of the year for Stardom. We go on to Dream Queendom number 2. This takes place on December 29th, 2022, as Izumi tries for the V9 against Hiroka Shimizu. So we have, again, another outsider in Shimizu. Shimizu and Izumi dodge sweeps back and forth and kicks. Shimizu then drops Izumi with a mid-kick, and then we get some nice hammerlock exchanges that leads into Izumi hitting the, you know it, folks, Alita arm drag into the armbar early on. The chase and high-speed action is on back and forth with some eye-blitzing, breathtaking high-speed action from both champion and challenger. Izumi tries to quickly go to the top, but Shimizu shoves Izumi off the top rope, sending her to the floor. And then Shimizu is able to hit a top rope dive and then sends the champion back into the ring, sensing urgency, hits a big knee strike that drops the champion for a two count. Izumi is able to stop the challenger with a top rope arm drag and then follows up with a snap suplex. And then she goes to the top rope and absolutely crushes Shimizu with the double stomp for a two count. Izumi then hits the running punt kick to the challenger's arm, which will then set her up for all of her fancy arm submissions. Izumi then goes for the La Mystica, but Shimizu is able to counter with an overhead slam. Izumi stops the challenger with a kick and the C4 bomb suplex for a two count. Izumi then goes for the Izumi Sushi, but Shimizu is able to counter the Izumi Sushi with a roll up her own or a two count. Shimizu then counters all of Izumi's flash roll-ups. Again, at this point, maybe she's watching those Best of Izumi DVDs. I know I would be. Basically counters all these flash roll-ups Izumi's trying to do with quick near falls of her own. So this is really cool. We haven't seen this in the previous V8s. And I don't mean the vegetable drink either. Is that Izumi, she'll get the Izumi Sushi counter from time to time, but she'll have some sort of roll-up or something to kind of back her up to either get the three count or get close to a three count that'll set up something for the arm. But Shimizu has all this countered. It's like, no, I'm going to counter this. I'm going to counter this. I'm going to counter this. This is a really great counter wrestling style high-speed championship match. Eventually, Izumi says, I've had enough of this, and then just drop Shimizu with a brutal buzzsaw kick to the head. Shimizu is able to fire back with an enziguri and a double stomp of her own to the champion, giving the champ a taste of her own medicine. The double stomp scores the challenger a two count. Shimizu then locks in a rear naked choke onto Izumi. Izumi is able to escape, but then Shimizu is able to drop Izumi with a buzzsaw kick for a two count. So that was really cool. So as soon as Izumi gets out of the rear naked choke, she's not out of daylight just yet, as then she eats a buzzsaw kick of her own. So not only is Shimizu countering a lot of Izumi moves, countering a lot of the flash pinfalls, but now she's mirroring some of her offense here with the double stomp with the buzzsaw kick. I thought that was really cool. Shimizu, though, is starting to show frustration. She tries for a 360-degree buzzsaw-style kick, but Izumi ducks, tries for the Izumi Sushi, but once again, the Izumi Sushi is countered. Izumi gets stacked up from the challenger for a 2.9 count. Shimizu comes in with the prong hold as they both trade several near roll-ups back and forth. Izumi finally gets a hold of Shimizu's arm and never lets go. She eventually works basically all around all four sides of the ring on the ground as Shimizu is trying to roll out of this, which again is the genius of the psychology of this finish. Shimizu is countering everything Izumi's doing. Izumi can't do anything with the Izumi Sushi. She's getting her own offense used against her. She finally gets a hold of the arm, and Shimizu, who spent a lot of the later part of this match countering and rolling out of everything that Izumi's doing, Izumi just does not let go, just hanging onto this wrist for dear life. And they work it to where not only does Izumi eventually get her in the numero uno, but where she gets it just happens to be in the middle of the ring. Genius finish. Izumi gets the tap out with the numero uno, 9 minutes, 39 seconds, 4.25 stars. This is another one that I remember watching. I thought it was really good, but just for the psychology of Izumi getting everything countered and then finally getting that arm and just won't let it go and works it to not only does she lock it in, but locks it in the middle of the ring and just cranks on that baby. Like, I'm taking this one home. I've had enough. Again, 9 minutes, 39 seconds, 4.25 stars. Another match that I highly recommend you go and watch, not just for the great high-speed action between the two, but again, the storytelling and the psychology of Izumi kind of being the underdog towards the end of this match, but never giving up. Because we don't retreat and we don't surrender. Folks, we go on to anytime you see these two against each other in a match, you kind of have to stand up. Well, now, since the Dream Tag Festival, if they ever tag up, we're all excited for that as well. We go to March 4th, 2023, the V10 Yoyogi National Stadium, the Triangle Derby Finals. Again, the first match, or this match, is arguably the greatest high-speed match in the history of Stardom. Match the candidate the whole night. Again, in my opinion. But it's Starlight Kid, folks. It's Starlight Kid, and this is a match that you're going to see on your alternate commentary probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks or so. I'm not sure where we're going to put it. But this is the match. As soon as I got done watching it, I was like, me and Rob and I, we need to call this for alternate commentary because this is just fantastic. And it's going to be interesting to see how the two of us can kind of keep up. You know, I'm looking forward to the challenge, how we can kind of keep up with the high-speed style, how I'm able to throw in the color commentary of certain things going on, of like why they're doing this or why Izumi or Starlight Kid's trying to set something up. So I'm up for the challenge and I hope you guys enjoy it. But man, I enjoy this match and let's talk about it. Starlight Kid takes Izumi down with the head scissors. We get some roll-ups, arm drags, drop kicks, leg sweeps, all get countered back and forth as these two know each other all so well. Izumi kicks out Starlight Kid's leg and then drop kick to the arm on the way down. Starlight Kid quickly counters and then goes after Izumi's knee, trying to lock in the Black Tiger leg crusher submission. However, Izumi escapes. She tries to go to the top rope, but Starlight Kid pushes the champ down, sending Izumi crashes to the floor. Starlight Kid tries for the Ase Moonsault, but Izumi, again, knows her so well, stops her. Izumi hits Starlight Kid with a snap suplex onto the floor and then hits the corner-to-corner suicide plancha onto the outside of that beautiful dive, that running dive from corner to corner, suicide plancha that she does. Izumi then hits the, Starlight Kid is trying to get back on the ring, she's in between the second and third rope. Izumi catches her with that spiking hurricanrana for a two count. Izumi then follows up with the Alita arm drag and then starts to crank on the work by working over Starlight Kid's arm. The Alita arm drag is able to lead into the Fujiwara armbar. Izumi, though, lets go of the Fujiwara armbar, sensing she does not have enough damage done. She goes to the top rope for the double stomp to Starlight Kid's arm. Starlight Kid cuts her off. The two of them have a top rope brawl. Izumi wins. Izumi then tries for the Tree of Woe double stomp to the floor this time, though. To the floor, because when Izumi forearmed Starlight Kid when they're brawling, instead of Starlight Kid falling towards the ring, she fell the opposite way. So now she's hanging off the turnbuckle, looking at the first two rows here in Yoyogi National Stadium. I thought that was a really, really cool spot there. She tries to do the Tree of Woe double stomp at the floor. Starlight Kid, thank God, moves. Izumi winds up crashing and burning. She goes to the floor. Starlight Kid is able to free herself, and the turnbuckle hits the picture-perfect Ase Moonsault. Starlight Kid then pitches the champion back in the ring, hits the 180-degree splash for a two count, and then goes back to Izumi's leg, locking in the leg crusher submission. Izumi is able to roll through the leg crusher submission and catch a roll-up for a two count, but Kid is able to rebound with the shotgun knees to Izumi's back. Side leg Kid then sets Izumi up on the top rope for the eternal foe. However, Izumi is able to fight out, and then she basically is able to, she fights out of it. Starlight Kid is hanging from the rope, and then Izumi eventually hits the Chariwo double stomp. But inside the ring, folks, we got to keep some sort of worker safety here, as we need Starlight Kid and Izumi in this company a long time here. And then she follows that up with just a regular double stomp. A super high, dangerous, crazy, squishy style double stomp from the champion. But this time she does it to Starlight Kid's arm. Izumi thinks that that's not enough. I did the Trio double stomp. I did a regular double stomp to the arm. Now I need to do one to the solar plexus, to the midsection of my eternal foe. So she hits three different styles of violent double stomps to poor Starlight Kid here. Scores her a two count. Izumi hits a La Mystica, Starlight Kid is able to roll through and rolls Izumi up for a cradle. Izumi comes back. She hits the C4 bomb. But however, Starlight Kid kicks out at one. Starlight Kid comes back with the Golden Gate Swing Neckbreaker. Izumi then gets dumped over the top rope, is able to fire off a huge head kick, dropping Starlight Kid. Izumi then tries for the springboard drop kick. You know, hey, she's on the apron. I got my opponent down. May as well do the springboard. She tries for a springboard drop kick, but Starlight Kid catches Izumi's arm on the way down from the bump of the drop kick and is able to drag and screw leg whip Izumi on the way down from a drop kick. Unbelievable. Just really cool spot, and the psychology makes sense because Starlight Kid needs something big to go after Izumi's leg. Takes away the speed, takes away the 84 double stomps that she's going to take, and it sets her up for the leg crusher submission. So just brilliant stuff here. Again, catching her midair off a drop kick so she can hit a dragon screw leg whip. Great stuff. Locks in the leg crusher submission. Izumi has a great sell. They do a great job really milking this and really feeling where the crowd is on this one. They work and work the submission. Eventually, Izumi gets to the ropes. Starlight Kid is able peels Izumi off the ropes. She goes for the Black Tiger pile driver. Izumi is able to fight out of that. Izumi Sushi for a two count. Starlight Kid gets the advantage back. Hits a Tiger Suplex for a two count. Starlight Kid finally plants Izumi with the Black Tiger pile driver, only getting a two count. Starlight Kid then pulls Izumi up to the top rope for the Eternal Foe. However, on the way down, Izumi lands on her feet and then is able to pick up Starlight Kid with the double Izumi Sushi, which I thought that was the finish, only getting a 2.9 count. Starlight Kid, who still has a little bit of the advantage here, tries for the Tiger Suplex. However, Izumi blocks the Tiger Suplex, is able to come off with a La Mystica into the armbar. Starlight Kid, though, transfers as Izumi is trying to transition from the armbar into the Numero Uno. Starlight Kid transfers her weight to be able to cradle Izumi into a stacking pin attempt for a 2.9 count. Great near fall there. Izumi then fires off a pair of buzzsaw kicks for a two count. Izumi then plants Starlight Kid with a Canadian Destroyer and then follows up with the Izumi Sushi. But again, only for 2.9. Izumi then goes back to Starlight Kid's arm with a single arm takedown and then punk kick to Starlight Kid's arm. Izumi uses a top rope single arm DDT with her legs to finally be able to lock in the Numero Uno submission that she was really trying for this entire match. Eventually, Starlight Kid is like, enough. This is enough. She taps out 17 minutes, 5 seconds, 4 3/4 stars. Again, folks, I don't know which match I like better. The title change from Cinderella Journey or this one. I think there's like a better story in the first one, but the moves are cooler in this one. Not that they weren't, there wasn't a, you know, the story was great in both, and the moves were cool in both, but geez, I mean, this one is just absolutely just insane, but just the back and forth action, just the psychology, and I guess different day, different answer, but these two are my, and when we get to the end of this podcast, I'll rank these matches 14-1, one and two are Starlight Kid. And probably one or two of my all-time favorite high-speed championship matches ever are these two, the two Izumi versus Starlight Kid matches from Izumi's second run here. Just really excellent, excellent stuff. We will then see the next challenger will take place, not at a pay-per-view, but at Korakuen Hall, as Saki Kashima, who beat Izumi on the final night of the 5-star Grand Prix back in October, that sent Izumi packing out of the red block. Had Izumi gotten the win over Saki Kashima, would have put Izumi into the finals of the 5-star tournament. But not only did Saki Kashima defeat Izumi in the final night of the 5-star, not only did it kick Izumi out from going to the finals, but it happened on Izumi's birthday, and it all happened in like 35 seconds, something like that. Saki Kashima finally gets her title shot against Izumi some 6 months later, April 14th, 2023. And this is the V11 taking place in Korakuen Hall. Just a little, something a little cool that I want to talk about here. So they go to do the pose for the, you know, the magazine pose with the championship belt. Saki Kashima knocks off the Hat Man's hat. Playing with fire here, folks. Playing with fire. The bell rings. Saki promises not to do anything sneaky at all. She's like, I want to win this match straight up. And Izumi, I don't know what it is. Maybe because she's not young in wrestling years, but she's young in life years. She trusts Saki Kashima. Maybe if Izumi was in Stars and it was Mayu, she would have said no, but she's not in Stars. She's in Queen's Quest, and she'll be in Queen's Quest forever. As well as she should be. Because bow down to the queen, bow down to Izumi. However, Izumi, for some reason, does take trust Saki Kashima. She said, absolutely. I know you won't do anything sneaky. Let's shake hands when she does. She rolls Izumi up with the Kishika sign. Everyone in Korakuen Hall thought that was going to be the finish. They wind up shaking hands, and then they exchange some new falls back and forth. Izumi hits a stiff head kick and C4 bomb. Match spills out to the floor. Saki hits a plancha to the floor. It's something you don't see every day. Back inside, Saki hits a double stomp and the angel wings combination onto Izumi for a two count. Izumi uses a leg trip to Saki that leads to the Izumi sushi for a two count. Saki then tries the My Emblem, but Izuki uses a Kishi Kasai onto Saki, basically her own move against her for a two count. Saki is able to lock in the Kishi Kasai onto Izumi for 2.9 count. Crowd really bit on that one. Saki tries once again for the Kishi Kasai for the third time. The third time is not the charm. Izumi is able to roll through and then roll through with a double Izumi Sushi for the three count. This one told a great story and the crowd bit on like three falls. And the match was only 4.5 minutes. 4 minutes, 28 seconds. I had it 3.5 stars. Really great stuff back and forth. They told a simple story. Saki was plancha, double stomp, angel's wings. And then they just peep, the crowd just biting on these near falls. Back and forth, which I thought was a really cool way to tell their story. And again, folks, I grew up in an era where it's like, give me every Ric Flair versus Ricky Steamboat 40 plus minute match. You know, I had searched long and hard for these Dory Funk versus Jack Briscoe 60 minute matches. One of my favorite matches I saw growing up was Billy Robinson versus Antonio Inoki, 2 out of 3 falls that went 60 minutes. I'm all for these long matches as long as they tell a great story. You know, Mega Okada, those the long matches there. So as long as you tell a great story, and what Stardom does better than anybody is they tell a great, compelling story that hooks the crowd, and they can do it in 4 minutes and 28 seconds, just like Saki Kashima and Izumi did. We move on to the final successful title defense. From this match 12, or excuse me, match 13, but the V12, as Izumi taking on Mei Sierra. Mei Sierra, this match took place May 4th, 2023 at Stardom Fukuoka Goddess Legend. Mei Sierra was able to pin Izumi in that Dream Partner high-speed championship match that kicked off the main card at All-Star Grand Queendom back in April, so the month prior. So Mei Sierra and Starlight Kid able to defeat Mei Tsuruga and Izumi. When Mei Sierra coming out, who hasn't wrestled in, I think at this time, like a little over 2 years, with the Rolling Star over Izumi. Didn't look like she missed the beat here. So she got the pin on Izumi in the middle of the ring in the biggest show in Stardom history and one of the best wrestling shows that you'll ever see. So that rewards her chance to knock Izumi off her throne. Knock the queen off her throne, if you will. Mei Sierra drop kicks Izumi right at the bell. Azumi is able to quickly counter them, get the advantage back with the Alita arm drag into the armbar. Mei retreats to the outside. Back inside the other ring, though, Mei dodges a big kick from Azumi. Mei follows up with a double stomp to the back of Azumi's head. We get a form exchange between the champion and challenger back and forth. Mei hits a low dropkick that sends the champion to the floor. Mei then tries for a running dropkick from the apron to the floor, but Azumi moves, having Mei Sierra crash onto the cold concrete floor here in Fukuoka. Azumi is able to come back and hits the corner-to-corner running dive suicide plancha. Azumi then spikes Mei with that hurricanrana, the apron. Excuse me, Azumi spikes Mei Sierra when she tries to come in the ring again between the second and third rope. She gets spiked with that hurricanrana that scores the champion a two count. Azumi then drop kicks Mei's arm. Here we go, folks. We're building up to that armbar submission. Azumi follows her arm work with a double stomp to Mei's arm. Azumi then locks in the Fujiwara armbar. Mei Sierra desperately gets the ropes. Azumi goes back to the top rope. However, Mei shoves Azumi off the top rope, sending the Queen's Quest member crashing to the floor. Mei finally hits that running dropkick that she was trying earlier from before, from the apron to the floor. So, yeah, really cool spot. So you see Azumi crashing off the top rope to the floor, and then Mei gets on the apron and then runs off the apron, hitting a missile-style dropkick to the champion. Really, really cool stuff. Mei then does Azumi's apron hurricanrana from the inside out for two counts. So, again, giving the champ a taste of her own medicine. Hey, you know, I guess if you're going to steal something, steal from the best. And Azumi's the best high-speed wrestler ever. Makes sense. Azumi catches a kick, and then she turns that kick into the C4 bomb. Mei is able to come back with a second rope, twisting blockbuster neckbreaker. Azumi and then Mei trade inside cradle roll-up attempts for several near two counts. Azumi then drops Mei with a head kick. Again, we see Azumi getting caught in a lot of these 2.9 counts, and eventually she just bails on it and then just takes your head off with a head kick. Hey, it works. Azumi tries for the springboard dropkick, but Mei Sierra kicks her out of the air with a dropkick. That was a really cool spot. Azumi tries for the springboard dropkick, but on the way down, Mei Sierra is able to hit a perfect dropkick onto the champion. Mei follows up with a head cross body for a two count. Azumi then counters a Liger Bomb attempt with a roll-up. Mei counters the roll-up attempt with a roll-up of her own for a two count. So again, we have the back-and-forth inside cradles here. That's really getting the crowd on edge. I think a lot of people pegged we were going to see a title change here. Azumi comes back with the Azumi Sushi for a two count. Mei Sierra comes back with a Rolling Star, the move that beat Azumi a month prior in Yokohama Arena. That is the Rolling Star, however, only scores Mei a two count. Azumi rolls Mei into the numero uno. However, Mei Sierra is able to stack Azumi for a two count. Azumi goes for the Azumi Sushi, but that gets countered with a roll up for another 2.99. Azumi locks back in the numero uno, but Azumi blocks Mei's attempt, roll up attempt, keeping Mei's arm, eventually fully locking in the numero uno for the tap out. 10 minutes, 46 seconds. Folks, this is a match that I don't think not a lot of people really give enough love and credit to. I remember I really loved it when I first watched it, and I loved it even more. I believe this was the show that was main evented by that fantastic Natsupoi versus Mina Shirakawa match for the Wonder Stardom Championship. And Mina's first defense, I think that's why this match gets overlooked. And this whole show was really, really good, but I think it just gets overlooked for that fantastic main event between Mina and Natsupoi. They really cemented those two wrestlers as wrestlers you can put in a main event of really any show, pay-per-view, or Corkin Hall, or KBS Hall, or what have you. And it's going to sell tickets. It's going to sell Stardom World subscriptions. But this match was fantastic. There was several near falls that I thought that's where they were switching the belt. And I think a lot of people, I think Rob and I both pegged that, okay, Mei Sierra, she's going to be the heir apparent to Azumi's run. And then we're going to start building Azumi up for the Wonder and World Stardom Championship match belts coming up at the end of 2023 and going into 2024. But that wasn't the case here. That was not the case here. Eventually, Azumi again gets locking in the arm, stopping Mei from doing any sorts of roll-ups, and then is able to fully lock in the numero uno for the tap out. Do yourself a favor. Go back and watch this. I had it at 4.5 stars. Absolutely love this match. And this match was just absolutely brilliant. We go, folks, to the final match of this fantastic show that we're doing. We go to Flashing Champions. May 27th, 2023, as we get the title change. As folks, we have another brutal, dastardly three-way dance as Izumi will defend the high-speed championship against Fukin Death and Saki Kashima, both members of the Evo Oedo Tai. Sorry, just had to get a drink there. Izumi with the dropkick to both Oedo Tai members right out the gate. Challengers quickly try to double team pin Izumi. Izumi hits a double sweep and a double low dropkick, sending both Saki and Death to the floor. Izumi then tries for her corner-to-corner dropkick, but for the first time ever in her career, as far as I know, she slips off the ropes. That usually never happens to Izumi. She's done this move 1,000 times, folks. So that just goes to show you never know. You never know when something's going to happen. Thank God Izumi was okay because she slips. Eventually, Fukin Death hits a dive, or she goes for a dive, but then Saki rolls Fukin Death up on the two count. Death hits the Brain Buster. Finally, she hits on this one. Well, she calls it the Brain Buster. It's really only a suplex onto Saki for a two count. Izumi comes back in the ring, hits a double stomp onto Fukin Death, and then hits a top rope drop kick to Saki Kashima. Fukin Death tries for the top rope moonsault, but Izumi and Saki move out of the way. Izumi tries to roll up Saki, but Death winds up rolling up everybody. Again, it's a three-way high-speed dance. We need three-way pinfalls all around. Saki and Izumi then trade near falls. We get the Kishikasai onto Izumi for a two count. Fukin Death comes up and rolls up Saki a few times. That scores Fukin Death a few near falls at 2.8 and 2.9. We see Izumi going for the Izumi Sushi, but Fukin Death is able to counter the Izumi Sushi with a pin attempt of her own for two. Fukin Death is able to hit the code red onto Izumi for a two count. Izumi tries to come back with a springboard dropkick, but Fukin Death shoves Izumi off the top rope. What happens is Izumi goes for the springboard dropkick, and Fukin Death pushes Saki into Izumi, sending Izumi crashing to the floor. And then Fukin Death tries for the O'Connor roll, that dastardly O'Connor roll onto Saki Kashima. Saki Kashima is able to slip out. She hits the Kishikasai, didn't hit it all the way. It looked like there's a little mistiming there. She's able to lock in, I guess, a version of the Kishikasai onto Fukin Death for the 1-2-3 as we see a new champion crowned. 5 minutes, 28 seconds. I had this at 3.5 stars. And folks, that is going to close this baby up. But before we do, let's do the top 14 matches in this run. Again, we will look at some stats. This run from Izumi, her second run with the High Speed Championship, lasted 458 days. She had 12 successful title defenses with the match that she won the championship and the match that she lost the championship. 14 matches that we just got done reviewing. And now let's rate them. So in the 14th spot, the match we just talked about, Saki Kashima versus Fukin Death at Flashing Champions. Again, it was a good match. You know, 5 minutes for three wrestlers on a pay-per-view. I get it why they kind of had to rush it, and the fact that I think it was kind of got a little contrived on the finish towards the end. However, though, a really good match. Match 13 was at Flashing Champions the year prior versus Tekla. Match number 12 was from Corkin Hall versus Saki Kashima. Match number 11 was the Midsummer Championship match versus Rena. Match number 10 was from Gold Rush, Momoko Hanazono. Match number 9, these are all great matches, especially from 10 up. Match number 9, Dream Queendom versus Shimizu. Match number 8, the three-way dance from World Climax Night 2 versus Baipoi, Matsupoi, and Koguma. Match number 7 was from Golden Week 2022, the singles match versus Koguma. Match number 6, three-way dance from the five-star special of Night 19 versus Hazuki and Fukin Death in your final 5 matches. Match number 5, Kings of Midsummer Champion versus Momo Kogo. Again, folks, go back and watch that match. Treat yourself. Go back and watch that match. Match number 4 was from the Fukuoka Goddess Show versus Mei Sierra. Again, great, great match from earlier this year. Very underrated. Match number 3, taking the bronze medal from the Cinderella Final Tournament from 2022 against Mei Tsuruga. Match number 2, taking the silver medal from the Triangle Derby this past year versus Starlight Kid. And the number 1 match of not only this run, but what I believe is the greatest high-speed championship match of all time, the title change Azumi versus Starlight Kid from Cinderella Journey in Nagoya back in February of last year, 2022. Again, that 1 and 2 with Starlight Kid, they can probably flip-flop at any time, but my 3 to 14, I pretty well have solidly locked in. Folks, that is going to wrap it up for this episode as we're getting on to about an hour and 20 minutes in this bad boy. I hope you all enjoyed it. I hope you, sounds like I'm about to lose my voice here. So that just goes to show you how much I love Azumi High Speed Wrestling and how much of some of that stuff I try to call as quick as I wrote it. And yeah, folks, go back and watch some of those matches. Go back and watch the Mesa Ruga match. Go back and watch the Momo Kogo match. Go back and watch the May Sierra match. Really great stuff. And obviously, you're part of our Patreon. So in a couple of weeks, you'll be going back and watching that fantastic rematch versus Starlight Kid from the Triangle Derby Finals with myself and Rob Goodwin on commentary. This one will wrap it up for us, folks. Again, thank you all so much for the fantastic support. If you have not done so, please head on over to our YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button. That would really, really help us out in the YouTube algorithm. Also, what will help us out a ton, please go over to Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star review and a little bit of a review. That really helps us out, helps the algorithm out, and it helps getting Stardom out for more people to see. Because at the end of the day, that is the big goal of this podcast, is having as many people as possible watching the best wrestling company in the world. That is Stardom. Folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Questions, comments, suggestions, anything that I can do for you, hit me up, Matt Turner OF, on the Instagram and or the Twitter. You want to shoot me an email, perfectly fine as well. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via email. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, folks. Cannot say thank you enough for the fantastic support that you show myself and Mr. Rob Goodwin on a daily basis. Cannot do this without you, because like I always say, just not my podcast, it's our podcast, because we're all together and everybody's different. Everybody's special. Have a great day, everyone.
When you need to work quickly and confidently, you need Grammarly. It's a trusted AI writing partner that helps you get work done faster, with better writing. And it works where you work, across 500,000 apps and websites. 96% of users agree Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Grammarly. Easier said, done.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.